Jehoiakim, in our Old Testament reading for today, was in a very tight spot. Because he was the king of Judah, after all, but he was only king because of the Pharaoh. Jehoiakim was a puppet king under the thumb of Egypt. He couldn't do anything on his own. I suppose in some ways that wasn't all that bad, because it did mean that Egypt would protect him. Egypt would guard him against all of his enemies. But in most ways, it was oppressive. Jehoiakim had to pay a heavy tribute, to say nothing of enduring the shame of not even being the king in your own kingdom. But in the midst of all of this, a new threat was looming on the horizon for him. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was invading because Babylon was making war against Egypt, and Judah was caught right in the middle. And it was becoming more and more obvious that Egypt was losing this war, because in December 604 BC, when we meet Jehoiakim here in our reading for today, Nebuchadnezzar had just captured the city of Ashkelon, a mere 40 miles to the west of Jerusalem. The Babylonian armies were that close, and Egypt had done nothing. So what were they going to do? Where could they turn for help? And at that time, they proclaimed a fast. Maybe God would answer them. Maybe God would help them through this time. But a year earlier, before all of this happened, God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. He told him to take a scroll and to write in that scroll everything that he had revealed to him up to this point. And the purpose of this scroll we hear in verse 3. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. But what was that disaster? What was coming against them? It was Nebuchadnezzar himself. God was sending the Babylonian army against his own people to punish them for their sins. They would be carried out of the land, taken away from their homes, forced to live somewhere else, just as God had long threatened to do. But there was still time. They could still repent. They could still turn towards God, and God would forgive them even now. But repentance this time would not mean victory and deliverance. Repentance this time would be just the opposite. Repentance this time meant defeat. If they wanted to listen to God, they would have to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. They would have to surrender rather than fight. And the one who surrendered, who went out to the king of Babylon, would live. But the one who continued to fight would die. And that was the message that the people heard on that cold December day a year later. Listen to the Lord. Go out to Nebuchadnezzar, surrender, and you will live. Christians, what do you do when God's word goes against your expectations? What do you do when God tells you to do something you don't want to do? Because yes, there are some things that are easy to listen to in God's word. Some things we don't have any troubles with. We all love to hear the promises of God, and there may very well be commandments that we don't struggle with, sins that we just don't commit. Some things are easy. But there are hard things in God's Word, something that we always find it difficult to listen to, something that God says that we struggle with for whatever reason, or some particular commandment that we constantly fail to keep. Or perhaps worse, something that we simply just don't want to do. God tells us to forgive. We don't want to forgive. God tells us that we're going to suffer. We don't want to suffer. God tells us that we need to speak up, but we want to be silent. What do we do in a situation like that? What do we do when God tells us to do something we don't want to do? Well, of course, the great temptation in all of this is simply to ignore it. To just say, well, God said it, yes, but he meant it for somebody else. Someone else can take care of it. Someone else can do this. It's really not meant for me. Or worse still, we may be tempted to reject it entirely, calling it a lie, something that God never said, God never intended at all. And that's exactly what Jehoiakim did in our Old Testament reading. Because in his mind, he was turning to God. In his mind, he was doing the right thing when they called for that fast that December. And he thought that God would help him. But when the word of God came to him through the prophet Jeremiah, he rejected it because it wasn't what he wanted to hear. He said it wasn't God's word at all. It was simply the words of Jeremiah. Because in his mind, God would give him victory. But Jeremiah said that he wouldn't. In his mind, God would deliver him out of the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. But Jeremiah said that he wouldn't. In his mind, God would restore his land and make it prosperous once more. But Jeremiah said that he wouldn't. What God said to the king through the prophet Jeremiah was not what he wanted to hear. And so he simply rejected it. And he burned the very words of God without giving it a second thought. But I would never do that, I say to myself. I would never do what Jehoiakim has done. I would not reject what God has to say. I mean, see, I have my Bible right here. And I know that this is God's word. I know that this is what God has to say to me. So surely I must be in a better position than he is. And Christians, if we say that this is the word of God, that is a good thing. I mean, after all, that's doing better than most people in the world today already. And if we hold this in high esteem and say that this is actually God's word, that's also a good thing. Because again, we're doing better than most. But listening to God's word is more than just saying that this is his word. It means actually doing what it says. Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And where is that will more clearly laid out, Christians, than right here in the pages of God's word? Here is what God would have us do. Here is what it means to listen to God. Here is how God would have us live. These are the words of the living God. And listening to them is much more than just calling them gold and honey and holding them in high esteem. It is walking according to them and doing what they say. As Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." But what does that look like? What does it mean to keep God's word? Well, when the world tells us that times have changed, things are different now, sin is no longer sin, and there's no more need to listen to this old book. Listening to God and His Word means holding on to this, calling a sin, and holding on to His Word even when it makes us unpopular to do so. When listening to God means that you're going to have to lose something because of it, a job, income, your time, even things that you want to do. Listening to God's word means letting all of those things go and holding His word above all other things. Whenever listening to God hurts, when it's going to cause us suffering or even pain, like Israel long ago being forced out of their land, even though they were listening to the Word of God. When listening to Him means that we have to surrender when we would rather fight, and when we would rather fight when we have to surrender, it means listening to Him and doing what He wants us to do, no matter what the cost may be. It's kind of like Daniel, when he was told that he could no longer pray to God, that he had to pray to the king instead. He ignored it, and he was thrown into the lion's den. But he still held on to the word of God. Or like the three young men who were told that they had to bow down and worship the giant golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. They refused to do it, and they were thrown into a burning fiery furnace, but they still held on to the word of God. Like the apostles who were told that they had to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, and when they refused to do it, they were beaten almost to death. And yet they still held on to the word of God. They did it, Christians, because they held up God's word as the most important thing of all. And that word was worth every cost, even if that cost was their very lives. But why should I listen? Especially when I can see that the cost of listening can be so high. Why should I listen if it's going to cause me troubles in this world? Why should I listen if it means going against even what I want to do? Because these words, Christians, are the words which bring life. Life in God, both now and in eternity. Jesus Himself says, John 8, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Even if we lose something by listening to God's word, what we will get back is far, far greater. Even if we have to deny ourselves to follow after Him and listen to His word, we will find life in Jesus Christ, His Son. Yes, listening may mean doing what hurts. Yes, listening may mean going against our own will. Yes, it may mean that we have to suffer just like Israel did long ago. But God promises life and every blessing to those who walk according to His word. It is a life that is ours through the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, His Son. Therefore, Christians, let us listen to His word, even when it's not easy for us to do it. Because this is the word of life. This is the word of truth. This is the word of the living God. And like Psalm 19 says about the words of God, They are more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken to us the word of life and truth, lead us in the way of truth, always following after you, because you are the Word made flesh. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.